And no one goes into med school to mess up people. So that's why it's important to talk to doctors and try to understand what their experience has been and what has informed the reasons why they're, you know, recommending what they're recommending, prescribing what they're prescribing.
Hey everyone, welcome back to a new episode of Healing Hormones Podcast. I'm your host, Nina Boyce, a certified holistic health coach and hormone expert. And if you're new here, Healing Hormones is a space where we talk all things menstrual health and women's health. And we really dive into the topics that our doctors and our gynecologists so often don't tell us. We are all in this together. And this is a space where you get to learn, share your stories, ask your questions, and feel more confident in your body. Today, I am so excited to bring to you Lisa Hendrickson-Jack, who is a certified fertility awareness educator and holistic reproductive health practitioner. And she teaches women to chart their menstrual cycles for natural birth control, conception, and for monitoring their overall health. She also has a book called The Fifth Vital Sign, which you hear me absolutely rave about in this episode. I think that her book is the most easily digestible book talking about birth control and fertility awareness method. And she debunks a ton of myths, and I'm absolutely obsessed with it. So if you have not read her book yet, or you're really enjoying this interview, make sure to head on over to Amazon or anywhere books are sold and look up The Fifth Vital Sign by Lisa Hendrickson-Jack. Before we hop into this interview, I did want to touch a little bit more on fertility awareness method. So although I am not a fertility awareness educator, although Lisa is. So if you are looking for somebody to really teach you the nitty-gritty about this method and how to prevent pregnancy, she is your go-to girl. But I also teach about fertility awareness method in my private one-on-one hormone coaching program. And the reason I do this is because it is so important to learn how your body works and what's really going on underneath the surface. So in my private coaching program, I teach you how to track your temperature, how to start to notice your cervical mucus, what that means, what it means about ovulation. You'll start to learn when your body ovulates so that you can either prevent pregnancy or achieve pregnancy. But more than that, learning how your body works and starting to track your cycle with fertility awareness method is all about your health. So the signs and clues you get through tracking tell us a lot about underlying hormone imbalances. And it's something that I really start my clients off with first or second session, depending on when they're ready, so that we can just hop to it and get to know the body as soon as we can. So if you've been interested in hormone coaching, you've gone to see your doctors, and you're not receiving the answers you're looking for, and you're just ready for a more personal approach, I will be offering 3 new slots for private hormone coaching starting in November. So if you're interested, you can apply on my website. Just go to nourishedwithnina.com, work with me, and you'll see an application for hormone coaching. You can apply at the form there, and we'll schedule a free 30-minute call together to see if we're a good fit, to see if hormone coaching is something that you're interested in, and then hopefully we can get you enrolled and started the beginning of November. Okay, so that's all the announcements I have for you right now. Let's not waste one more second and hop into this interview with Lisa Hendrickson-Jack. Hey everyone, today I'm very excited to be talking to Lisa Hendrickson-Jack, who is a certified awareness educator and holistic reproductive health practitioner. I've been following your work for quite some time. I've been like the Instagram stalker, I'm in your Facebook group, and I recently got your book a couple of months ago because I read it while I was in Las Vegas and I could not put it down. Like, I was obsessed, and I've linked you in my email newsletters. Like, my listeners and my audience knows who you are. So I'm really excited to have them hear your voice today, and we can talk more about, you know, all of the wonderful things that you are educating women on.
Oh, thank you so much. That's amazing. I'm so excited to be here. So thank you for having me.
You're welcome. So what I've been telling my listeners is that your book is like the most easily digestible book on periods and hormones I've ever read. I think a lot of times, and I'm sure you know too, and you follow all the hormone doctors. I mean, they've been on your podcast, but it can get a little intense and overwhelming. And I feel like the way you put out the information in general, like on Instagram, in your book, and in your Facebook group, it's very easy for women to get on board and say like, oh my gosh, this is something that I can do, you know? So how did you even get into this work and want to share this with women?
Well, I mean, my story is an interesting one because I discovered fertility awareness when I was quite young. I was about 18 or 19, right out of high school. And I had been put on the pill. Well, I went to the doctor's office wanting the pill when I think I was 15. Because I was heavy into sports and I did like ballet and all kinds of like, you know, things. I did things where heavy bleeding isn't optimal, let alone period pain. And from my very first period, it was painful and it was very heavy. And so it was always kind of a thing for me. And at that time, at that age, that's all I knew. And so I went to the doctor and before I finished my sentence, he was already writing the prescription. But I wasn't using the pill for birth control at the time. But when I actually needed birth control, I kind of had this hesitation around it because I didn't want to be on the pill forever. Because I hadn't been taking it for birth control, I would go off of it on occasion and then my period, just to check, right? Like, are my periods still horrible? Oh, yep, they are. But That's the thing. It didn't help it. It didn't fix it. It just masked it. And I had that awareness even at that young age because I had this feeling like I need to figure out why this is so awful. Because the pill isn't fixing it. And I had this feeling like it shouldn't just be awful. Like there must be something wrong. And I was afraid. I was like, am I going to be able to have kids when I want to? I didn't at 18, but I was afraid. And also I didn't take it at the right time because I wasn't, you know, I just took it when I would remember and sometimes I would forget. And I had read the whole insert and it was like, you know, take two and this and that. And so when I needed birth control, I just felt like I would be really nervous all the time. Like, what if I missed it? What if I took it 10 minutes late? Like, I'm that personality that would be freaked out about that. And then I discovered fertility awareness. So I went to a talk at my university and an author who was reading an excerpt from her book, and she shared that there's only a small window of time when you can get pregnant and that your cervical fluid and your cervical position change when you're in your fertile window. So you could figure out when you're fertile and not have sex or use a barrier. And that just
blew your mind. Same.
Because then all of a sudden I felt like I was in control. So a lot of women are in the opposite situation, right? Because they've been on the pill for a really long time. And for them, that is their control. And they can't imagine coming off of it because that would feel like you're not in control anymore. For me, it was the exact opposite. It was like, oh my goodness, I can figure out when I'm fertile and I can just use a condom or whatever during that time. And then outside of that, and then I can know if I did get pregnant, I would know right away, right? My charting and all of that. So for me, it was the opposite. It was like, wow, this gives me so much more control over my life and over my body. And so that's where it all started. So yeah. I quickly started using the method. Within a couple of years, I was teaching. I took a training program and I started teaching. And so I really appreciate your comments about the book. To be honest with you, when I was writing the book and rewriting it and all the things I go through to make it into what it is, that's how I talk. That's how I speak to my clients. That's how you kind of learn those skills over all the years. So I've been working with women in this area for almost 20 years. And so When you say stuff and it doesn't resonate, you have to find another way to talk about it. So I use lots of analogies and friendly language because that's how I talk to people.
Mm-hmm. And you can tell that you know how to relate to us. And if you're not like a hormone expert yourself, it's like, well, how are you going to understand the information? So yeah, I love the way that you put that out there. I remember when I got on birth control, it was like right my freshman year of college. And I definitely was like, ooh, I'm going to start having sex. So I want to get on birth control. But I also remember I was like, well, how can I get away with getting on it? I don't know why I needed an excuse, but I was like, well, I do have a ton of mood issues and I had really bad acne. So I went in saying I have really bad acne and I think I was like PMS, you know, severe PMS. And that's why I got on it. And then of course, like throughout college, it was fine because I didn't have to worry about birth control. But I was like going, I remember calling my doctors off and on and saying like, I just don't feel right. And I'm spotting all the time. And my anxiety got so bad. Like it would go in spurts where I just was like, I'm not in control of this at all. And before I would be able to manage it. And I remember my doctor saying to me specifically, she was like, well, it's probably not the birth control. So you can try a new one if you want. But I just remember feeling really defeated. But for some reason at the time, I really didn't contribute any of those things to the birth control pill until like later on. But I tried like different ones. I tried the NuvaRing. I tried getting off of it for a little bit and getting back on it. And I don't think it was until like I decided to get off that I really started to get even worse symptoms from being on it for however many years, like 7. And that's when I started getting into this work. And I was like, holy crap, I think the birth control pill not only obviously masked what I was dealing with, but then now has made it even worse coming off of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I can relate to that to some extent. I was so young when I went on the pill that you would have no idea. This is one of the things I always say, because there's a lot of women that would say that I went on the pill and I had absolutely no side effects and everything was great. When you're talking about the pill, you have to understand how it works. So the reason that it works is because the majority of the combined hormonal birth control options prevent ovulation. So they suppress ovulation. And when you suppress ovulation, you suppress your natural production of estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone. And so regardless of how you experience that, so some women may experience anxiety or depression or low libido because it, you know, is suppressing your normal hormone production. And testosterone is really important for our libido and our normal sexual function. Even though not all women experience that change in hormones in the same way, it has to do those things or it wouldn't work. So it's interesting when people say, oh, I didn't have any side effects. It's like, well, we all have, and it affects all of us. It's just the question of like, how is that going to happen? So when I was on the pill, I mean, again, how would I know? I was super moody. I remember being really like things would happen and I would really be crazy, but I don't know, you know, like, was it just being a teenage girl or was it on the pill? Like, I'll never know. But I do know that the only time I ever had migraines in my life were when I was on it. And I only made that connection as a grown-up. Like, I didn't ever. I went to the doctor. They gave me these like really intense pills for the pain of the migraine. And no one ever said anything that it could be related to the pill.
Oh, it's so frustrating. Somebody that I'm really good friends with right now, she's actually a coach. We were having this conversation and finally she's like, you know what, Nina, you've convinced me. I'm going to get off birth control. But she told me, she's like, I don't have any symptoms. She's, you know, into intuitive eating. So she's like, I just want to be more in tune with my body. And I was like, then girl, get off birth control because you're going to love it. And she said afterwards, within like a couple of weeks, I didn't realize I was struggling. She's like, I didn't think I had any symptoms. She's like, my sex drive's better. I didn't even realize I was having anxiety. I feel so much more relaxed. Like, I think that a lot of women don't realize that they're struggling when they're on it. But then to some women's points, I understand if it's this point in your life where you feel like it is easier to not have to worry about tracking, although I do want to get into it and like really cut all the stress around it. But I understand that it is stressful to make such a huge change. And when you feel like you are leading a really busy lifestyle and you are sexually active and you don't want a baby, it's like, I'm just going to take it. And if I don't have any symptoms, this is the best choice for me. So what do you say to that? Do you understand as well? Or what's your kind of philosophy around that?
Well, I mean, I talk about the pill a lot. I talk about it in the book. I talk about it on the podcast. I talk about science. I've been outspoken about the pill for a really long time. What I think is really important though, and the reason that I talk about it a lot is that I believe it's important as women to have the opportunity to make an informed decision about what we're doing. So it's not about judgment. I mean, I went on the pill when I was a teenager because I didn't know how else to deal with the period pain and all of those things. And at the time, like it did kind of mask that pain and it allowed me to kind of do what I was trying to do. So what I couldn't stand here and be like, you know, no one should ever use it because I've used it.
Right.
So the reason that it's important to talk about it is because most women are not aware of the most common side effects.
Exactly.
I haven't come across very many women who have been fully counseled about the long list of side effects that are associated with birth control. And when you experience side effects, if you do and if you notice them, if you're not aware that they could be linked to the pill, then you would have no idea. So a few of the side effects do include depression. And so when you look at the research, teenage girls who are put on birth control are much more likely to also be put on antidepressants. Mm-hmm. And so we need to talk about this because if you're on the pill, especially when you go on it as a young woman, you don't really know yourself that yet. Like, if someone thinks of being condescending, it is what it is. Like, when I was 14, I didn't really know. And so if you go on something from that young of an age, you might just start to think, oh, well, I'm just not that happy of a person.
Yeah.
I'm just not that sexual. And these are things that women have told, similar to your friend who went off the pill and got her libido back and started feeling normal again. And it felt like, I've had women describe to me that felt like the clouds were lifting. So in that time that you were on it, some women do, of course, notice, oh my goodness, this is a big change. But other women, it just kind of slowly creeps up. And it's not until after you come off of it and your hormones start going again that you realize the full extent of it. So I would say that it's really about informed consent. And when we talk about the side effects and when women have that knowledge, then I feel like we're going to fall into one of three categories. It's like, you know, some women are going to say, okay, well, that kind of freaks me out. Those side effects sound pretty intense. So I'm going to see if I can find a non-hormonal option. Some women are going to say, you know what, I'm happy to know the side effects. I'm going to take it because this is the best thing for me right now, but they might modify their use of it. So instead of potentially using it for 15 years, maybe they use it during the year that it's like the most dire, and then they kind of modify it and come off of it and try something different. And if they experience a side effect, then they know. So then they have the option to be like, oh, okay, I remember someone said that the pill is associated with anxiety. I started having panic attacks. So let me just see if I can go off of it for a little bit and see if they stop. Right. Mm-hmm. And then there are women who are going to use it for just as long. But at the end of the day, we need to know, because if we don't, then we can't make those types of choices.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely this whole women's rights issue to me, because like I've been just now kind of preaching. I'm not a fertility awareness, you know, educator, but I am very much like, this is, I'm going to give you the information and here are the resources, right? Like, check this out. And the amount of girls that are coming up to me and saying like, I didn't know ... it's like a fire that's burning within me, because of course I coach women on like how to naturally balance your hormones. So when I start saying like, it could be the pill, or it could be this, or it could be that, or this is also linked to this and that, it's like these light bulbs start going off. And I really want to just pick on something you mentioned, where we develop these stories about ourselves that like, oh, I'm just an anxious person, or I'm just a depressed person, or whatever, you know, fill in the blank. We don't even have the awareness to realize like, it's not you. It could be this other thing that's interacting with your natural hormone production. So it's not your fault, you know, and women just don't even know to look into it.
Well, and so this kind of comes into a lot of the white lies, you know, and just the untruths that we're told about our cycle, right? Mm-hmm. Because until you understand how central your menstrual cycle and ovulation and your ovarian hormones, until you understand how central those hormones are to your overall health in general, then it's really, it makes a lot more sense why taking the pill could affect you. So as women, we're told that the pill is kind of the same as not being on it, right? Because it regulates your cycle and it does all these things, but you're told that you get to keep having a period and that you get to keep having a cycle while you're on this thing. So it makes us feel like and think that it's. I had a doctor tell me in one of my podcast interviews that she thought of the pill similar to vitamin, because she was like, it's just something that you're on. Those were her words. Because it's not. And how many women can resonate with, like, if you've ever, you know, whatever, you're filling out a form and it's like, are you on any medications? And so many women don't even list the pill because they don't even think about it as medication.
Right.
And again, this is a huge problem, because it is a medication. It does it interferes with your hormones. And for what it's worth, it was the first drug on the market that was marketed to healthy women to
oh my gosh,
a natural process. Just
for I read that in your book. Okay. I remember that line specifically. And it blew my mind. I was like, we created a drug to prevent something that's healthy, to prevent something that's needed. And it blew my mind. I was like, why? Why would we do such a thing? I mean, again, I get why it's been, I don't want to also poo-poo. I don't really like that word, but it's given women a lot of opportunities because they didn't have to worry about getting pregnant. But again, it comes back to awareness because they didn't know there were other ways to prevent pregnancy.
Well, and the challenge is that it's like you can't have a conversation about this without feeling like, oh my gosh, we can't bash the pill. The pill equals sexual freedom. And it, and so I don't want, like, it's same thing as you. I don't want to minimize what it is. And I don't, to be clear, I think that as women, we are have the right to all access, like all of the options.
Absolutely.
The pill being one of them. So we always, in conversations like this, you always have to kind of like mind your P's and Q's and be very careful not to say anything about the pill. But for what it's worth, it's ironic that the drug that is synonymous with the quote unquote sexual revolution also lowers testosterone to the point that it lowers libido. There's a running joke that, you know, one of the reasons why the pill works is that it makes you not want to have sex anymore. It increases your risk of painful sex, and it is known to shrink the vulval tissues, including the clitoris. Mm-hmm. And I mean, is it really sexual freedom when we have to medicate ourselves in order to make our bodies resistant to sperm, as opposed to potentially having, again, all of the options? So the important part of this conversation is that there are women who go on the pill and then become depressed, have increasing feelings of anxiety. There's a lot of, there's so much research to describe why that is. The pill depletes specific nutrients. It depletes vitamin B12, vitamin B6. And vitamin B6 plays a really crucial role in our development of serotonin, tryptophan. Oh, yeah. And these are, so there's a lot of very specific reasons why we're experiencing these types of side effects.
There are medical chemical reasons going on in the body why this is.
So this isn't about saying we shouldn't have access to the pill, but we need to know this because women aren't taking the pill for a week. You know, women are taking it for 6 months, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. And there are women who go on the pill and do feel anxious and nervous and end up on anti-anxiety medications because their doctors aren't telling them that we know that the pill is associated with anxiety. So maybe we should look at this first. There are women.
I was recommended that myself. Okay. They told me, well, you can take an antidepressant for the worsening like mood fluctuations in addition to the birth control. And I was like, wait, what?
Well, and that's the thing. And this is the conversation that isn't taking place. There are women who go on the pill and start developing recurrent yeast infections. Mm-hmm. And they're not necessarily being told, well, we know that the pill disrupts the gut flora because we know that. And we know that it does increase your risk of that. So some women do go on the pill and start experiencing yeast infections back to back. So the doctor will give them an antifungal and then that causes an issue with the bacteria and then they end up with an antibacterial and they swing back and forth between the two.
Yep.
Someone could have just said like, look, we know that. So this is really what this, for me, that's what this conversation is about. There are women who go on the pill and experience pain with sex. So they experience pain on penetration, pain with intercourse. And, you know, some of them are ending up with a psych assessment and talking about their emotions and stuff. And again, could we just acknowledge that we know that the pill is associated with these types of effects before we go jump to any conclusions, just give those options. So I always bring it back to that because I have heard a disproportionate amount of stories over the years, given the work that I do, right?
Mm-hmm.
Time again, women telling me their stories and their experiences. And often women are not finding those connections until they're so desperate. They've had so many panic attacks. They feel like they're losing their mind or whatever the case is.
They're like, I'm just going to try.
Finally, like Google in the middle of the night. And that's how they find the connection. They find a forum. And then there's all these women that were like, I was on the pill and I had the same thing. And that is not how you're supposed to be finding out about the side effects of the drug you're on. Your doctor is supposed to tell you that right off the bat.
You're honestly getting me fired up. And I was the girl. Like I was the girl that was doing that and was like, what is wrong with me? I mean, they all know, my listeners know, but it was like doctor, anxiety meds, gynecologist, birth control. And I was like, no, people, like, I felt so unheard. And so I'm not going to get into the story now, but like, it's just, it fires me up. And I'm actually so happy to be having this conversation because I've only done a couple. I mean, you're one of the first interviews of my new podcast. Mm-hmm. And I've only done a couple of interviews so far, and they've been lovely. They've been with two other doctors. And I feel like we've not really gotten into this piece of it where it's like, I'm going to drop the inhibitions and I'm just going to tell you how it is. And I'm so grateful for you to just say it how it is, because I think we really need to hear it. And I'm just curious, what do you think about when it's kind of going to become mainstream for doctors to share this information in their offices?
Oh, that's a that's an interesting question. Yeah. When I was researching for the book, I mean, over the years, I did a lot of podcast interviews. So I always say I love it when I have an opportunity to interview doctors. It's a window, because I ask all the questions. Like, so why is it that doctors always recommend the pill for everything?
You're like, it's an excuse to ask all my questions. I feel you.
Well, but I genuinely want to know. Because the thing too is that you can, once you get into this world and you hear enough stories about women who, for instance, like every issue with your period possible, heavy periods, light periods, irregular periods, whatever, painful, fibroids, endometriosis, like everything, the pill, right? And so we can really get to the point where we feel like the doctors are against us and they're not trying to help us and all of that. But all of us, we all need doctors. And no one goes into med school to mess up people. So that's why it's important to talk to doctors and try to understand what their experience has been and what has informed the reasons why they're, you know, recommending what they're recommending, prescribing what they're prescribing. And so medical school, from the doctors I've interviewed, I mean, they teach about periods, but it's very much this, you know, this is what a normal period looks like. 28 days, ovulation on day 14, which are both myths, because... Mm-hmm. 28, 29 days is the average cycle at length. But obviously every woman does not always have a 28 day cycle. Ovulation is one of the most variable things in the cycle. And so most women don't ovulate on day 14 all the time, but this is what, you know, it is taught. And then they talk about all the problems. So your doctor has been fully educated about all the problems that can happen with the cycle. But the solution that is presented in medical school is the pill for everything. And they're educated about the effects, but it's mostly the life-threatening effects and how to prescribe to mitigate that. So if somebody has risk factors for potentially a stroke, if they're over 35, if they smoke, etc., they're taught about how to prescribe certain types, you know, progesterone only or etc., so that they can minimize those risks. But in terms of the side effects related to depression, low libido, anxiety, painful sex, all of those types of things, that is not something that is currently emphasized in their training. So arguably, the doctor doesn't necessarily know that those are associated with it.
Mm-hmm. Such a good point. It's like, they are here to help, right? Yes. They've gone through medical school. They know so much, but they haven't been taught necessarily the basics of like other options outside of the pill. And so we just need to know that. Women need to know that going in. Because I think what happens is we get nervous because our doctors are, you know, on this pedestal. And so when we go in, and because I was that person where I would question and I would always feel really dumb leaving the office. I would say, but I've heard this, or like, but I've read this, or what about this option? And it was always like, I mean, there's not much research on that, or you could try that, you know? So I always felt like, okay, well, if they don't know, then I probably should just go with what they're saying. And when you know that like their schooling was done a certain way, then it kind of at least puts the power back in your court and you can say, but I know stuff too, you know?
Well, and what's interesting is that there are certain materials geared to doctors and certain research studies. So when I was doing the research for the book, I came across a study that I talked about in the pill chapter where they surveyed all these women who were taking birth control. And, you know, the study, I'm trying to remember if I know the name off the top of my head. But basically, they were trying to figure out the characteristics of the women who complain about the pill. And so the title was something like that. And in the study, 50% of the participants had reported some sort of issue. So whether that was a sexual issue, related to libido, you know, function, et cetera, or whether it was an emotional issue, depression, anxiety, but 50%, one out of every two. And when you look at the actual, when you read the study and the conclusions that the researchers came to, the researchers came to the conclusion that it is difficult for doctors to prescribe the most effective birth control method without unduly discouraging women to take them. Mm. So material that's aimed towards doctors, when I had, like I said, I've had several interesting and very informative conversations with doctors. And so also in medical school, if efficacy, so effectiveness is prioritized over everything else. And so anyone who works with women in this field will recognize that it's not always black and white. We're not
at all
always like 100% I want a baby today or 0% absolutely no babies. And a lot of women get pregnant unexpectedly for whatever reason and keep the baby, even though they were not in the state of wanting to have babies. So this is not something that is totally black and white. And so, but from that perspective, then the only birth control that would make sense would be the one that has the highest efficacy. So these days, if anyone has noticed, it's really IUD focused, right?
Mm-hmm,
it IUD, is. Like you put it in and we can't, you can't screw that up. So
nope.
There's the difference between the user failure and the method failure. So even the pill, if you don't take it right, et cetera, it increases because the advertised effectiveness is like 99%, but then the actual effectiveness is like 92% because there's that factor. So I think that's also important to know because the doctors then they are actually trying to do what they feel is best for you, but that's even weird. You should be doing what's best for yourself, but they are doing what they feel is best for you. And the way that the training is we want to give you the highest efficacy, right? So IUD, okay, then has to be hormonal, right? Because, and then the side effects are very much minimized in favor of the efficacy.
Oh, absolutely. Which is something that I've noticed. And I'm really hoping it changes soon because I think we need to flip that. We need to be like, this will work, you know, or it will mask if that's what you're trying to have it do. But also, can we please note all of these things that if you experience them, I need you to come back so we can talk about taking you off. You know, like that's just never something that happens. It's more like, this is the best option. These are very low side effects. It doesn't happen. I hear that that's more, that was my experience. Like, yeah, but the chances are lower with this happening.
Because like we're grown-ups. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we don't need the sugar coating and whatever. You know, we have to be, the kid gloves have to come off. If I am going to a doctor and I want birth control, I'm not, I know what I want. I've researched it. I've looked at the options. And most women go into the doctor already knowing what they want. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the brand is up in the air, but the actual type of birth control, they already know that they want it. So why is it then? So again, with that research study I mentioned, it was like, it's hard for doctors to prescribe without discouraging women. Okay. If you go in and you're about to be put on a medication and the doctor says, okay, so these are some of the most common side effects. If you experience any of these things, just come back to me. Like I just don't.
It's not hard.
No. And I'll give you an example of why this is important. So often when I'm talking about the side effects, I focus on the most common ones, which are like the depression and anxiety and mm-hmm. the low libido and et cetera, et cetera, but not necessarily on the life-threatening ones. You know, I did an interview with a woman who had a stroke when she was 21.
Wow.
So part of it too is we know about like the worst side effects, but we never think it could happen to us. So she had a stroke, but again, before she had the stroke, she was having headaches and there were certain things, certain signs, certain things that, again, the doctor could say it's very rare, but there is a small percentage of women who experience a stroke and, you know, deep vein thrombosis, et cetera. So if you ever have any of these types of symptoms, I want you to go to the emergency right away, or I want you to contact me right away or whatever. This is just how it should be. So the real question is, why isn't it?
Yeah. No, I mean, I have the same question. I feel like if the more we all talk about it, the more we record podcasts about it and write books about it and do blogs and, you know, Facebook groups or whatever, the more women are going to start to feel comfortable with saying like, I know that this information that I feel deep in my soul is right. And I have a whole community of women that feel it too. So now they're going to go to their doctor. I mean, this is my dream, right? That they're going to go to their doctors and they're going to say, I know that these are factors that I care about. And can you just at least talk me through them? And hopefully it starts to catch on.
But the challenge, to be honest, is that you can become empowered with all this knowledge. So you listen to this podcast and, you know, you buy the book and you read it. And now you're really empowered and you go to your doctor's office expecting something.
I know where you're going with this because I've felt it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So one of the things for me, because this is not new information for me. I have been aware of information for almost 20 years, but I know that it's not, I'm an anomaly, right? And so I've had the experience of going to the doctor's office, and I've worked with, you know, hundreds of clients who have had various conversations with their healthcare practitioners. So it's really important for us to, it's like we have to get to reality about it. We can want all this change, but the change has not yet happened. So I can go to Burger King and demand someone to come and fix my window. Like I could be like, I need my window installed, and I'm in the Burger King lineup, and I'm like, I really need, and they're like, we don't do that here. And I'm like, no. Mm-hmm. I came all the way down here. I need someone to install a window. Well, I'm at Burger King, dude. Like it's not going to work. So you can't necessarily expect, like you have to be truthful with yourself about what you can expect from your practitioners. So doctors are not trained in nutrition. Mm-hmm. Doctors are not trained in the fertility awareness method. They're actually taught that it's the same thing as the rhythm method and it's totally ineffective. So often women will go to their doctors wanting to discuss other options, or they might just slip in, oh, I've come off the pill and I'm, you know, planning to use fertility awareness. And the doctor will say, okay, well, you need to start taking folate because you're going to get pregnant. So we have to at least be honest and acknowledge. So how are doctors trained? You know, how are they trained to treat, quote, in air quotes, treat period problems? Mm-hmm. Well, they're not really trained to go to the root cause, not really what Western medicine does. They're not mm-hmm. trained to look at what could be happening with your hormones. Why might you be having period pain? We know it's a sign of inflammation. What are the sources of inflammation? Like they're not trained that way. They're trained that if you have pain, we got to get you either a painkiller or the pill, and that's basically it.
And I feel like almost like I could cry from that explanation. And I hope that everybody hears that, because yes, let's go to our doctors for what we need to go to them for, right? Like they are the expert in many, many areas. But when it comes to this, and when it comes to women's health and hormonal health, especially treating hormones holistically, that isn't where you're going to find the answers right now, maybe in the future, who knows if things change, but you have options, right? You can go to your gynecologist, get your checkups. Like you need those things. You need to go and get your pap smear and all of that, but also know that there's other resources where you can look at hormones holistically. You can find someone to train you in the fertility awareness method. You can get, you know, you have a variety of options to go to.
Well, and the way that I talk about it with my clients and in the book is to go at it with the concept of a team approach. So, I mean, when you need your teeth cleaned, you go to the dentist. When you need glasses, I'm wearing my glasses right now, you go to your eye doctor. So when we have specific issues related to menstrual health, if you are wanting somebody to look under the hood of the car who is going to try to find the root cause of your problems, if you are the type of person who's not satisfied with, you know, let's say your periods are super regular, you're getting like 3-4 periods a year, and your doctor's like, well, we'll just put you on the pill and then you'll bleed every month. If you're not satisfied with that because you know that at some point you might want to have a baby or just want to be healthy just because it's important, mm-hmm. And you still have that problem. Like if you're put on the pill for something like that, when you come off of it, that problem, whatever was causing those period problems, that didn't go away. And so basically we are putting a Band-Aid on it, which can be helpful in the moment. But right. I mean, a lot of us want to know, like I want to know. Mm-hmm. So if that's what you're wanting, then the team approach. So we all need doctors. So on your team, like these like boardroom analogies, yourself ahead of the table, your doctor is going to be there, but you might need somebody else depending on your specific situation.
Absolutely.
You might need a nutritionist. You might need a naturopathic doctor. You might need an acupuncturist. You might need a fertility awareness charting instructor. You might need a holistic health coach who specializes in female hormones. But, you know, so not, you might not need any like one individual person, but together, you know, and you might not need all of those people, but I think you're getting
right.
Like we can't
absolutely
go to the doctor and expect the doctor to have all the answers because they do not have all of
mm-hmm. them. I'm high maintenance, so I have like all of them, but I mean, I don't have a nutritionist, but I have like my doctor and my acupuncturist and I have a naturopathic doctor on hand in case I want that. So I'm definitely a person that promotes having your team. We're going to switch gears a little bit. And I know that we've already been talking for a while. I could talk to you about this for literally ever. I want to definitely touch on fertility awareness method though, because this is something that some women are catching on to, but it still seems completely foreign. And can we like at least explain how much time do we have? I know there's like a lot that can go into it, but can you talk to us about what this is, why it's different than the rhythm method, and give us an overview?
Yeah, absolutely. The fertility awareness method, basically what it is first and foremost, having an understanding of your cycle. So it allows you to break some of the myths that we talked about. The myth that we're most of us have been taught that we're fertile every single day. And if you have sex on any day of the cycle, you can get pregnant. That's not true. There's only a small window of time in your cycle where you can get pregnant. And fertility awareness allows you to monitor the three main signs of fertility, which are your cervical fluid, your basal body temperature, and your cervical position, and identify which days of your cycle are fertile or not. And then with that information, you get to decide what you're going to do with it. So for some women, they just want to track their cycles and have a general understanding of their health. For other women, they actively want to use fertility awareness as their primary birth control method because they don't, perhaps they've had a negative experience with hormonal methods and they just want to just kind of avoid the hormones altogether. And other women are then trying to conceive or planning to, and they really want to know when they can time, because it's really, you know, devastating after a lifetime of being told that pregnancy is a gift and you will get pregnant whenever you have sex, to come off of the pill and, start trying to get pregnant and it's not happening. So there's lots.
How frustrating is that when you're on the pill for so long and you're like, shoot, like this is how hard it is, you know, because it's hard.
But I mean, it comes down to, so even again, like when I've spoken to numerous women who say gone to their doctor and it's like, okay, I'm trying to get pregnant. And it's like, we'll have sex, you know, every other day
mm-hmm.
or have sex between days, this and that, whatever. And it's kind of it's this random advice that isn't tailored to you. So when you understand, so from a scientific perspective, there are 5 days where pregnancy is possible, plus the day of ovulation, because a sperm can survive in your cervical fluid for up to 5 days.
Which is pretty cool. When I started preaching that, I was like, I had no idea. I had no idea that our cervical mucus was like a specific pH level. To be honest, I didn't even know that it was anything. I just was like, I get this randomly throughout the month. Like I didn't even start learning about it until I would even say maybe like a year ago when I picked up Taking Charge of Your Fertility. Like, hello, I had gotten off birth control. I was researching holistic health. I got like my health coach certification. I still had no idea about cervical mucus until I read that book, and then learned more when I read your book. And I was like, this is fascinating.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's just it, right? So it, again, in my experience, it puts the power back in your hands because it's no longer a mystery. And so when you're trying to avoid pregnancy, what really stuck for me back when I was like 18 and I figured all this, like discovered all this stuff, was that before I knew this, I was just terrified. So I had been told that I basically would get pregnant if I ever had sex. And I was just mm-hmm. terrified all the time, just like a constant state of terror. So when you're in a constant state of terror, it makes sense to take a drug that prevents you from getting pregnant 24/7. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you're protected. But no one's having sex all the time, like every single day, 24 hours a day.
Right.
And then when I discovered that there's only basically a week out of each cycle where you're fertile, then all of a sudden I was like, well, geez, why should I be on this thing all the time when I'm only fertile for a short period of time? So fertility awareness, then it's different to the rhythm method, because the rhythm method was not based on your observations, it was based on the calendar. So it's based on the idea that the cycle is 28 days. And, you know, if you just track about 4 to 6 cycles and then you figure out about how long they are, and, you know, then you just use that. Use the calendar.
And well, so, and that's how you get pregnant if you don't want to get pregnant. Because if your body is at all like mine, I travel a lot. I'm probably on a plane like once a month. My ovulation, like it's actually kind of a problem, but it's like kind of all up in the air because if I travel, it's delayed, or if I get sick, or I'm really sensitive to food changes, like anything really, if I change my workout routine, like my ovulation will change or become delayed, like anywhere between day 15 and like 21. And so it's like, how are you supposed to know if you're not tracking it? You can't just say, like, I've always thought day 14, I would look, I would get the little heart on my calendar, you know, on my phone app. And I was like, oh, I have the heart. I'm ovulating. Hell no, I'm not. Like, I didn't ovulate for like another week sometimes after that, day 14.
Well, yeah. And that can affect it both ways. So when you're trying to avoid pregnancy, obviously that's not going to work. But when you're trying to get pregnant, I think what people don't understand is that, because if you believe that you're fertile every day, then you can't really screw that up, can you? Right? Mm-hmm. But it turns out that you can. Because if you were to have sex on day 14 all the time, but really your ovulation happens closer to day 19 or 20, and you know, you could quite literally be missing the mark every single time. And I've seen that happen. So with fertility awareness, it just takes out the mystery. It's no longer a mystery. You can track it. So for anyone who isn't familiar with cervical fluid, it can look like creamy white hand lotion. It can look like raw, stretchy, clear egg white. Some women find that during their fertile window, they wipe themselves, like they go to the bathroom and wipe themselves. And it just feels really lubricative, really slippery. And so, you know, either way, when you understand that and then you start tracking it, so assuming that birth control suppresses the mucus production so you don't really see it at all until you come off of it, when you're able to track that, then you can start to understand, wow, okay, so as I approach ovulation, I produce cervical fluid. That's what keeps mm-hmm. sperm alive. And so really, I'm only fertile at that stage of my cycle. Once you ovulate, your cervical fluid dries up in a healthy cycle. Your cervix changes position. So for, you know, not everyone checks their cervix, but for those.
Yeah, that one's hard. Yeah. I've tried it and I'm like, like number one, it's kind of like uncomfortable. I'm like, I don't really know. I think I feel it. I think I don't. I usually go with the first two, but I'm also, I don't know. Do you have to do the third cervical position to really be accurate?
It's an optional sign. So cervical fluid, I would say is primary because that determines when the sperm can survive. And then mm-hmm. basal body temperature is extremely important. It doesn't help to predict ovulation, but it does help to confirm when you have ovulated. So
for I love it. Well, I love when I see the spike. I'm like, yes, I've ovulated. Or it's like that. I'm weirdly excited about cervical mucus now. Like I see it and I start like tracking it. I'm like, okay, like we're creamy and now we're getting to like egg white. This is it. This is it. And then once my temp rises, I'm like, I'm right. My temp rose. It's like weirdly nerdy fun for me now to track all these things.
Yeah, I think understanding where you are in your cycle and just how to identify all those signs is super, super helpful. And just in a like multiple different ways. So for the listener who, for this, like for whom this is very, very new, what I would suggest just to kind of get your feet wet is just to start paying attention when you go to the bathroom. So quite literally, like you're going to the bathroom anyways, multiple times a day. And when you go to the bathroom, you wipe yourself. And so one of the very first things that you can start to pay attention to is how it feels. Because any woman who I've spoken to who has been off of hormones or just isn't on hormones for a period of time recently, it's harder when it's like the last time you were off of it was 15. But for any woman who's cycling naturally, when I ask, like, are there times of the month where you notice it's really slippery? They all be like, yeah, yes, I noticed that, but I never knew what it was. And so it's just starting to pay attention to that. It's helpful if you grab, you know, download an app or, you know, if you're into paper charting, you know, start writing it down. But when you start to pay attention, it's really mind blowing because it's something that happens cyclically. It happens consistently. Yeah. It happens as you approach ovulation. And for, I haven't met a woman who is interested in hormonal health who doesn't find it fascinating that you can actually tell when you're fertile, when you're approaching ovulation, you can confirm
it's
that
so cool. Ovulating.
Yeah. Like, and it happens cyclically. So for me, it's like, okay, it's been almost 20 years and all this time, it's really not that difficult. Once you learn it and see it, you can't even imagine not seeing it. You can't mm-hmm. even not notice if you tried, because now it's just like anything else. Like you would notice if you had a headache, right? So you're going to notice all of these things. So
I've had women say to me, oh my gosh, that seems like a lot of work. And I'm like, you don't really get, like, when you go to the bathroom, first of all, you sit down. I like feel like it's a womanly reaction to just look down at your underwear, right? So like I'll look down and I notice like, okay, cool. Like I'm going to see if I'm going to start getting cervical mucus. Then when you wipe, if you just bring your awareness to it a little bit, like, are you going to notice a different sensation? You will. It's honestly not difficult at all. Then when you start tracking your temp, I remember for me, I was like, ugh, that's going to be so annoying. Like I have to wake up and take my temperature. Now I use the Daisy app, but I have it like on my side table and I just like wake up, put it in my mouth and then like, that's it. And then I have so much fun. Again, I know I'm into this, but I have so much fun looking at the rise and fall of my temps because for me personally, like, you know, this, it tells you a lot about your health. I had and still kind of do have low progesterone levels. So I get to see, oh my goodness, did I finally hit a 10 and 11 day luteal phase? Yes, like it's working. Or my temps have been really low. Like this is a sign that I need to look into this. So it's just, it's so empowering to know your body and it is not as hard as you think it is, you know?
Well, I think it's important to just point out there that there's a difference between just generally understanding your body and how it works. Like anyone can get into that and do it. There's a difference between that and then actually using the method for birth control.
So, good point.
Yeah. So, I mean, anyone who's listening who isn't on hormonal birth control, who's cycling normally and ovulating and all of that good stuff, we can all kind of get that sense of like, wow, there's certain things that you can pay attention to and you can pay attention to your cervical fluid and you can pay attention to the temperature even if you want to take it that far. You can pay attention to your mood. So some women will find that around ovulation, they might feel more upbeat and outgoing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of women find that as they approach their periods, they might feel a little bit more introverted, sometimes, you know, mild to moderate PMS symptoms, as many of us are familiar. But either way, like we can all kind of just get that. And it, that in of itself is not work. That's just being in tune and paying attention to what's going on. So for the women who actually want to use the method as birth control, I mean, it's not that much work in the grand scheme of things, but again, it's not for everyone. So even though I'm a fertility awareness educator, I've been doing this for a long time, I recognize that it's not for every woman. And it's not even for the women who gravitate to this, it might not be for them for their whole lives. So there might be a period of their life where this is totally the most, you know, convenient thing, and other times of that, their life where it's not. So in terms of how much work is involved, if you can brush your teeth, you can do it because it takes about that much time. So you're going to the bathroom anyways. So, you know, you're just adding on paying attention to what you were already doing.
And charting, right?
And then writing it down.
That's like the big piece.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then taking your temperature in the morning. So again, if you can brush your teeth, you can take your temperature when you wake up first thing. And then, you know, once a day. So I suggest at the end of the day, you kind of make mental notes throughout the day, like, okay, what I saw, and then you write that down. So really and truly, the actual time that it takes isn't that heavy. But again, it's not necessarily going to be for everyone.
Mm-hmm. So if somebody is listening and they're like, you know what, I really want to use this for birth control. What I've read, and I emailed you because I was like, I'm kind of interested in, do I want to teach this because I'm talking about it? Do they have to find a trained fertility awareness educator to learn how to do it correctly? Can they just take their temperature and track their cervical mucus and chart? What's your advice on that?
Well, I mean, so the research that's been done on fertility awareness. So for those who don't know, the fertility awareness method has been shown to be up to 99.4% effective when used correctly. So that puts it on par with the hormonal methods in terms of effectiveness. So that's the first thing, because I know that that's not, a lot of people don't know that even to this day. A lot of medical professionals are only, you know, either don't know at all or are starting to recognize fertility awareness-based methods as legitimate contenders and effective. But those studies and tests that have been done are from women who really know how to use it. So it is possible to screw it up and to take chances and to do risky behaviors that, you know. So, I mean, my suggestion to any woman who's serious about it and who really wants to use it is to consider working with an instructor, just so that you can, one of the differences, like when you work with an instructor, especially in this day and age, so in today's day and age, a lot of women, most women
have been on hormonal birth control and often, you know, look to fertility awareness after they've come off of it. And there's a lot of women who struggle with hormonal issues and things like that. And so all of those types of specific situations can make it a bit more challenging. Working with an instructor prepares you for all of those ups and downs that can come. It helps you to get clear on what you're actually seeing. Cervical fluid is often the most challenging aspect of fertility awareness charting. And working with an instructor can really help to, instead of you having to figure it out and make mistakes over a year or two of charting yourself, then you can just get it down. Mm-hmm. In my experience, I've worked with women who have no experience charting, like literally just came off the pill on Thursday and now they're charting. And I've worked with women who've charted their cycles for like 2-3 years already. And then they come and work with me. Mm-hmm. And I have never worked with someone who didn't have a ton of questions for me. Even the experienced charters who still couldn't figure out, like couldn't get their head around the mucus and all that kind of stuff. So with that said, if you're wanting to jump in, the place to start would be like the resources. So my book, The Fifth Vital Sign, Taking Charge of Your Fertility, Tony Weschler, my podcast, Fertility Friday podcast, you know, there's more and more women talking about this. There's more and more resources. So, but I, for me, I just want women to be successful. As a fertility awareness educator, we're always kind of fighting against the stereotype, like, oh, it's just the rhythm method. Oh, it's not effective. And when women jump into the method without really taking the time to learn it, and then they get pregnant unexpectedly, then it just
discredits it.
Yeah. And then it's like, oh, it doesn't work or whatever. But if you take the time to learn it, like when you learn to drive a car, you didn't just get in the car and drive it, right? You had to like learn how to drive it. And that's a good analogy. The educators help you to really understand the road rules, if we're going to keep down the analogy train, and like, so that you really feel confident.
Yeah.
And also, especially for the women who are coming off the pill and terrified that they're going to get pregnant immediately, having, and not just an instructor, there's, now that there's more women talking about it, there's lots of women who claim to teach it, but haven't taken the time to, you want to work with someone who actually took a training program, specialize in this, in a specific method of charting, because,
which is what I want to do, because I want to start being able to, I don't want to just be, I mean, I can say a lot, right? But I also want to be able to, and of course I can direct them to the people, but there is something to say about knowing all of it, because I mean, the cervical mucus aspect is hard, because even when you're inconsistent, I think, with ovulating, or you don't know when you're going to ovulate because you got off the birth control, or maybe you have PCOS, or even like endometriosis or a thyroid condition, you know, you don't always know. There's other medical factors.
That is important, because fertility awareness does not require you to know when you're ovulating.
Tell me more.
Well, because you can't predict ovulation.
That's true. So then you just look at cervical mucus to give you the clues, right?
Yeah. So you identify which days you're fertile versus which days are not. It's not about predicting ovulation. So then whether your cycles are regular or not, the method can work. But this is why it's helpful to have somebody to take you through it. So even the women who are self-taught, and I'm using air quotes, they're still connecting with women online and groups of women who have more experience in that. I don't believe it. I shouldn't say that, because there's someone listening. So I grew up in the 60s and I read books and I treated myself. But most women, especially in today's day and age, who say that they are self-taught, they still had women around them in some shape or form with more experience than them to teach them, because it's not really something you can just go in a cave and just do on your own. There's too many questions. You said that you're in my Facebook group, just all the questions all day long.
Yes.
And even the women who've been charting forever, they still have all the questions. And I do group programs, and some women are just new. Some women have all of the, like, you know, 36 charts right there, because they've charted for so long, all the questions all the time. So this is something where, in order to feel confident and to be using the method effectively, you will need some sort of support. You just have to decide in what capacity that's going to look like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they obviously have the resource. I love that you've already kind of shared that with them. And I'll link all of what you said in the show notes in case they're curious. Because yes, it may seem overwhelming, but you have the support out there to learn about your body and what's going on. And they can also join your group if they have questions, right? Because there's always people asking questions and helping each other out in there too.
Well, yeah. And it's not, I'm not just trying to dissuade. Like, at the end of the day, like, what my experience has been is that So if I'm working with somebody, once we have been through like 1, 2, 3 full cycles together, then like when you're working with an instructor through 2 to 3 cycles, then the first cycle is like, oh my goodness, this is all new. What am I seeing? What's coming out of my vagina? Like all mm-hmm. this kind of stuff. What's going on with my temperature? All that kind of stuff. So we kind of sort all of that out, correct way of taking the temperature. You know, how do you chart? How do you check your cervical fluid? How do you categorize the different kinds? How do you figure out which days are fertile, which days are not? Why is my ovulation happening this time? I thought it should, like all of that kind of stuff, you kind of get sorted out. But provided that you are ovulating and that you are having cycles, the cycle is not just on repeat and repeat, but you have patterns. Like as you approach ovulation, you see this. You know, once you ovulate, you see this. It's not always on the same day and all that stuff. Part of what I do is deprogram. I deprogram the myths. I'm the myth deprogrammer because a lot of women come to me. We all do. The pill made us think that all cycles are always 28 days. And this is
absolutely not.
Yeah. And so then when your cycle is 31 days, you know, you're worried. You're, you know, 32 days. Oh my goodness. I ovulated on day 19. Is that okay? And so a lot of what we have to do is just kind of unpack. And the difference between fertility awareness, one of the many, but the difference between fertility awareness and like say going on the pill is that with fertility awareness, you're working with your body. You can't control your body. So you can be angry that your ovulation was really delayed because you traveled, or you can start to understand that your body responds to what's happening in your life and you can't really control it. So you have to learn to read it, to write it down, to understand it and to work with it. It's a totally different mindset.
That was such a light bulb moment for me because I do like to control. I mean, part of the reason I even got into this was because I was like, ooh, I can change what I eat and I can change my sleep patterns and I can work on stress.
My cycles will be perfect, which is...
Right.
So
but let me tell you, they are not.
Well, I would say, like I say all the time to my clients, there's no such thing as a perfect cycle because you're not a robot. Guess what? You're never going to get to the point where every single cycle I ovulate on day 14 and every single cycle is 28 days. Like that's not going to happen. That's never going to happen. So like, even if your cycles are perfectly wonderful and healthy, they'll still vary. Ovulation will still vary a little bit, albeit maybe just for a day or two here and there, but it'll still vary because you're not a robot. You're a human. Mm-hmm. And it's not a failure if your ovulation is delayed one cycle or not, but this is a different thing. What fertility awareness, it opens the door. So I like the iceberg analogy. A lot of women come to fertility awareness for a reason. You know, I have a problem. I don't want to do the hormones. You know, I started eating organic and then I was like, wait a minute, I'm taking hormones every day. This doesn't align. So this gives you an option. So you go, okay, I want the birth control. Okay, I want to get pregnant. Okay. And then you start charting and you start to see, wow, I didn't realize I have this health problem and I'm seeing it in my charts. I didn't realize my cycles were like a window into my health. So you get way more than you bargained for. And then you start to see, oh my goodness, when I go on my drinking binges, it changes my cycle. Oh my goodness, when I...
which is what I think is the most cool.
And, you know, like I work out for 7 days in a row and like do 2 workouts a day, like either, you know, my ovulation is delayed or whatever happens. Like, so you start to see like, wow, in what I do with my body actually impacts my cycles. So you go from going to the doctor and basically like my cycles are irregular, you know, I don't know what to do. And the doctor's like, well, there's nothing you can do. Just go on the pill to
not true. Not true.
Right? To, oh my goodness. Yeah. What I do is directly related. Like I can impact and have an impact on my cycle and my health and all this. It's all connected. Mm-hmm. So it's a very different place to be in, very empowering. So you go in for the reason, like what can I get out of this? I want hormone-free birth control. I want a timed pregnancy. And then you get so much more out of it. Mm-hmm.
It's taught me to soften a lot too, because like you said, I love to control. And so when I realized like my body's doing what it's meant to do. I mean, if I travel a lot, I need to balance that somewhere. So Nina, you got to calm down. You got to do some more stress reduction. You need to maybe take a supplement that's going to support. I mean, it's like all of these factors. I realize I can't just travel on a whim and like over-exercise and do all these other things. It's like, it allowed me to soften and it's also allowed me to see, right? Like you're not just guessing anymore. You can see on paper what's going on with your body and it's a beautiful thing. So,
Yeah.
Thank you so, so much for having this conversation. It's actually one of my favorite conversations I've had because it's been the most honest and it's obviously the most aligned with what I believe. So it's fun to talk to somebody that is equally as fired up about these things and encouraging of fertility awareness method. And I'm excited for our listeners to learn more and to connect with you. And if you don't mind, I know you mentioned earlier, just give them kind of the rundown of where they can find you if they want to learn more.
Well, thank you so much for that. That's a huge compliment. It was a super fun conversation. And obviously we could just keep jamming because
for sure
that's what we do.
Yeah.
But no, thank you so much for that. So in order to get in touch with me, I mean, the book is The Fifth Vital Sign, Master Your Cycles and Optimize Your Fertility. So everything that we talked about here today, it just in way more depth, and there's a lot more to the book as well. But if you're wanting to get that sense of what is happening, like what is the connection between my cycles and my health, to get some understanding about fertility awareness and how it all works, like in-depth understanding of the different fertile signs and how they relate to your health, I would say, hands down. You can grab it on Amazon. It's an ebook, paperback, and audio book formats. The website is thefifthvitalsignbook.com. And if you're into podcasts, there's over 275 now podcasts about fertility awareness over at fertilityfriday.com. So if you, wherever you're
listening. Such a good name, by the way. I'm so glad you nabbed that at the right time.
Yeah, it was kind of, I remember when I was trying to decide what I was going to call it. And I live in Toronto. So I was actually walking around Toronto with my husband and there's a store, I don't know if it's still there, but there's a store called Girl Friday. And I was like, that's it. Fertility Friday.
I like alliteration, as this podcast is Healing Hormones. I'm like really about alliteration.
Well, it makes it easy to remember.
Yeah.
But yeah, so type Fertility Friday in your favorite podcast player and you'll find me.
Perfect. Well, thank you again so much for coming on the show. And I can't wait for our listeners to connect with you further.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's been my pleasure.
Thank you so much for tuning into that episode with Lisa. Don't forget to check out her book, The Fifth Vital Sign. And if you're really looking to work with somebody on fertility awareness method to prevent pregnancy or just to learn more about the body, you can check out her programs at her website, fertilityfriday.com. She also has an awesome podcast called Fertility Friday, so you can learn more about Lisa there. And also, if you've been interested in working with a hormone coach, I'm opening 3 spots in November. I teach you all about what's going on with your body. You'll learn how to track your cycle. We'll get to the root of your imbalances. We'll talk nutrition and lifestyle, stress reduction, all of my favorite things. You can apply for private hormone coaching on my website, which is nourishedwithnina.com. Head to the tab that says Work With Me, Private Coaching, and you'll see the application there. Okay, that's all I have for now. I cannot wait to talk to you guys next week.